There is nothing more joyful than to realize that God, Spirit, whatever name we may give to that presence, is with us, no matter what is going on in our lives. And what is even more powerful and delightful at the same time is knowing that if we truly listen, that Spirit of God within us is always ready to speak to us, to guide us. All we have to do is present ourselves and ask. And sometimes when it's needed, even in our busyness, that voice comes through and talks to us. And nothing greater than being obedient to that inner guidance, no matter what is going on. Because sometimes our fear and our anxiety does not make us pay attention or to obey. We shouldn't discount it. So my prayer for us for the rest of the year is that we'll be filled with the delightfulness of that ever-living Spirit that is always there to guide us, no matter how small or how big things are, and that we are willing to ask that Spirit for that guidance, ask questions of that Spirit, and ready to listen, either right away or when He chooses to speak to us. So in the light of that, I now welcome any of us to ask questions in that divine light and that divine presence and continue to guide each and every one of us. Amen.
Thank you. Explain more deeper meaning of coming to Christ.
The question is, what is the true meaning of the coming Christ? The irony of that question is that when they say the divine is coming, Christ is coming, it's because we are not ready to welcome it. Christ is not coming, He's already there. And all we have to do is present ourselves. Because Christ is not just Jesus. Christ is you and I and every living thing. I'm not even talking humans now. Because if Christ is not there and is coming, we won't exist. We won't be able to breathe. Because it is the Christ power that is emitted out of God that created all there is. So it's not that the saints were lying when they said the coming of Christ. It's because we were ignorant of that. So when they say the Christ is coming, that means they are giving us a guarantee that at one point in our life, at that moment, something will shift where we will realize that God is there, that Christ is there. And once that realization takes place, then we say Christ has come. Because you don't know what you don't know, even though it exists. You know, like growing up, I never experienced snow. So I don't know, I know they talk about it, but I never know exactly what it is. But the moment I saw it and said, ah, oh, this is not sugar or salt. This is snow. This is ice. This, aha. Then I can talk authoritatively about what snow is like. Now imagine those who grew up with it. So I'm saying the snow is coming. You know, they say, what do you mean the snow is coming? We lived through it once winter comes. So that's the key that they were trying to make us like, present yourself. If you open yourself to know, knowledge will come. If you open yourself to love, love will show up. You will know that love is already there. All you have to do is wrap your hands around it. So that's what the coming of Christ, that's what it means. Does that answer? We thank God for that.
I feel like, I guess my question is about how to slow down, especially when, like, you have to move very fast and you're very busy and you don't have a lot of, like, just time where you can't be doing anything, but how do you slow down when what you're doing is very fast paced?
The question is, how do you slow the pace of interaction, right?
Or, like, how do you... Like, how do you slow down and, you know, like when you're doing something that's really fast paced, like whether you're like working or running errands or something, and you're like very busy, like your mind doesn't actually, can be also busy as well. But how do you like slow your mind down and like your spirit while what you're physically doing is fast paced?
Okay, let me try to understand this. In our busyness, because the mind is always going 100, 2,000 miles an hour. And the mind is always talking about the future. It skips the present. It's always like, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. So the question is, how do we slow our mind down to be in the present while we are also aware of that which is yet to come, the future we're already planning? One of the greatest irony of humanity is we think we're in control. And we want to be in control. We want to dictate how things go. But if we bring that sense that, no, there is a power, whether we see it or not, that determines how everything goes, and that it is worth it to embrace that power, it will slow us down. It does not mean you won't go into the future you are planning. It just, what it means is that it allows you to celebrate where you are, because without where you are, you cannot touch the future. If you don't have hands, you can't scratch your body. But if you acknowledge the hand, then the hand still does what it needs to do, but you are aware of it. So then you celebrate that, like, oh, thank you, God, I can do this. So the awareness is to see that you are connected to that power, and that power is with you always, and that you need to celebrate that power. It doesn't need to be separate. You need to be true cohabitants. You know, you embrace that power, and when you do, what it does is, it actually guides you in the most efficient way to do that which you are planning. It does not stop you from planning, because, look, you can do all you want. The mind wants to always take us, you know, run with us and all of that. By embracing that presence, that power, then what it does is it allows you to know that you can nurture, you can have an input in the mind. You can guide the mind to do what you actually want, not what the mind wants to do. And then in the process, you appreciate where that power, that spirit is leading you in being able to do whatever your responsibilities. Nobody will teach you that until it kicks in. Then you will see how sweet it is. I mean, it might even be the most mediocre job or work or function. When you actually celebrate that prayer, you will see the sweetness that comes, that the celebration, the gratitude that comes, that, oh my God, I can do this. You don't know what that is until you have crooked finger. You know, like those who have, what do they call that?
Arthritis.
But then when you don't have it, when it goes, they say, oh my God, thank you for it. It may be a simple thing, you know? So that's how you can slow down. Do you understand? That's how you can slow down that pace. Is embracing the one, the owner of life, the one that is guiding you, because it's not separate from you. It's not going to run away, no matter how much you try to do. And it makes you more efficient, more aware. One of the things I enjoy when I do personal retreat is that because you don't add sugar, you don't add salt, you don't add oil, and you can actually taste the naturalness of the food you are eating. And I can tell you this, it tastes much better than what you actually, it doesn't mean you can't add something, but eat it. Because most of us, we actually ignore that, what we add to it, whatever, you know, and because our mind is always racing ahead of its time. So, and that's what meditation or taking personal time, that's what it does. It also helps you to become aware, and then you can slow yourself down. Slow the pace. Why not being lazy? You know, you can slow things down. Why not be in haste? Because they say being in haste makes you lose the awareness of that presence. Yeah. But be in comfort. No, the word just passed away now. Being aware allows you to enjoy the comfort of each moment. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I had the same question, I believe, as Sheree, but I wanted to clarify. My question was, can you explain more deeply the Christ consciousness? But is that exactly the same question that Sheree just asked about the coming of Christ?
Is that the same question?
Is Christ consciousness the same thing as coming of Christ?
Yeah, Christ consciousness is coming of Christ.
Then perfect. I was going to ask exactly the same question. Thank you.
What are the more meaningful, the depth of Jesus' message for all humanity?
What are the meaningful?
Messages, the deeper message of Christ, Jesus, for all of us.
Well, the depth of what I understand the question is, what is the depth of the message that Jesus came to give? Is the simplest of all messages. Christ is all about love. Love conquers hatred. Love conquers fear. Love conquers, you know, even when somebody is exploiting. That's why I say, love God with all of your heart and love your neighbor as thyself. Because, and the reality of that is, if we ever tap into that love, and that love is always ready each moment to renew us, you know, and that's why you sometimes you are not even doing what it is called spiritual or, you know, meditating, and you feel that presence just come over you. And because that presence is love, you are just happy. You don't know why you are happy. I'm sure it's happened to some of you. You are just joyful. Nobody can damp your happiness, and you can't even explain it to anyone. And in that moment, you are celebrating life. And that's what Jesus came to say, look, that love, if you tap into it, and you must consciously groom yourself in that love, is there, but it will not impose itself unless you truly invite it, because it's part and parcel of us. So when we consciously, and that's what meditation we do, that's why they will say, when you meditate, tap into love, you know, or whatever God represents. So that is the deeper meaning of Jesus' word. It is the foundation of existence. It doesn't matter whether you're an angel, you're a demon, whether you are a little spirit or a big spirit, whether you are human or non-human. The love is the only seed that allows life to exist. And that's it. And it does not mean you have to be perfect. But if you tap into that love and you let that love be your northern star, the one that your mirror, you will find that even in your imperfection, you will always feel that presence. Part of that imperfection is, let's say somebody says something that gets under your skin and you want to respond or act in it. And when that love shows up, just you feel that, then you just learn. It's not worth it. Because the man will go ahead, you know, and give his own recognition of interpretation. He tries to translate things. And what he's trying to translate and tell us is actually might not be what that person is doing or what they want, but missing in translation, but we take things in a different way than what is being. And because of that, we react to it. But in the presence of that love, it allows you to simmer back. And then when you actually play back in your mind, you find out, oh, that's not what they meant. You know, oh, that. And then you may silently bless them. And even if that is what they meant, even when it's offensive, then you can say to them, well, you know what? That's not who I am. Just because somebody say you are this doesn't mean that's who you are. And then you move on. And so that's the deepest teaching of Christ. It's all about love. Everything else is just a matter of opinion. It's just an addition. So.
Jesus didn't have any idea of having religion, did he?
No, Jesus knew what religion is.
Yeah, because he was Jewish.
Yeah, so the question is, did Jesus...
For Christianity, he didn't want to establish Christianity, did he?
No. He was meant to establish that, but Jesus didn't call it Christianity. Is a universal truth. That's what the religion is, you know. Because if he's talking about love, it does not matter what part of the world you are, what gender, you know. And if you follow that religion, let's use it that way, then it will always lead you back to God. It will always lead you to the center of things. That's why he encouraged that Samaritan woman. Because the Samaritan said, Lord, well, they won't let me go to Jerusalem because they say I'm not Jewish. And they won't even let me go to a mountain where a fellow Samaritans. So, and Jesus said, look, the water I'm about to give you, the ever-living message I'm about to give you, to show you, you don't need to go to Jerusalem. And you don't need to go to that mountain because it's right there. Jesus was talking about the coming of the Christ, about the Christ coming. Is right there with you, and all you have to do is show up. Once you open up to it, then you will find that you don't need all of that external thing. And then you won't hold grudges against the Jews, even though they hold it against you. You know, you won't hold grudges against your fellow Samaritans, because they sort of have some subjective opinion about that, like, well, she's wayward, you know, she's not with her husband, she's all of that. Jesus said, none of that, because Jesus didn't judge her. Jesus saw that. So yeah, Jesus came to establish a universal religion, except you won't call it religion because it's for everybody. And then you don't need all the organizations that religious tend to have. Otherwise, they wouldn't have killed Jesus. He's saying, well, those of you who want to have organization, knock yourself out. But you don't need organization to feel the presence of God. And they didn't like that because they feel, okay, he's trying to demolish what we've established, you know. Well, are you better than Moses or the Abraham, the message given to Abraham? They forget. Abraham didn't have a church or, you know, an organization or a temple. It's wherever God wants it. Moses did not have a church, you know. Yeah. So, yeah, Jesus definitely came to establish, to show the universal religion. Because whatever it is, you give people what they want because of where they are. You know. So, For those who see it because they feel, okay, well, I need a church or I need a temple or I need a religion, say, good, goody, goody, knock yourself out. Do your religion, but practice the universal truth that is being spoken. Yeah. So you want to be in church? Be in church. You want to be in open air and talk to God? Yeah. You want to hug tree? I mean, they make it look like hugging tree is something awful. The tree hug. But Jesus is saying, in that universal truth of religion that he brought, you can hug the tree all you want. You know, nobody has the right to tell, you know, you want to float on top of the ocean, knock yourself out. But because it's the same presence in the tree that is in the ocean, it's the same presence that allows you to breathe, it's the same presence that allows you to move. So then, how can you discriminate or separate yourself from anyone else? And that's why I say, love your neighbor as yourself. Because if you hold that enmity, it affects you and everybody else. And we don't need that. Otherwise, our world would be better. Beloved, we thank you for the opportunity to seek your guidance and to be filled with the joy of your wisdom. May that wisdom that is the first gift of the Holy Spirit never depart from each other, every one of us. May he continue to lead us home to you, just like Jesus did, to lead the Jewish state, the disciples, home to you. May we always be filled with that love. And may that love always awaken us to his true power and presence, bringing us to a place of fulfillment and gratitude. Amen.